Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis, and today is Friday, April 24, 2020, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule combating COVID-19 to join us today here on Blog Talk Radio for another edition of The Bible on Trial. We are going to get started with that in just a few minutes, but before we do, I want to remind you we have websites that you need to be aware of. The primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find writing by Rick Sterling and a book by Rick and me, called The Spirit of the Church. You can just go over to the search and put in the Spirit of the Church, and it will take you right to our book. We also have a secondary website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. There you can find a lot of writing by the rest of us, including Rick. And we just came through Easter, and there is a pretty good paper there called The Case for the Wednesday Crucifixion of Jesus, which puts a whole different spin on how Easter functions. We encourage you to go there and make use of that. Also, we have our episode page here at Spirit of Truth Ministry. We now have 1,139 published programs on Blog Talk Radio for our shows, both The Bible on Trial and The Revelation of Jesus. So you can go there for lots and lots of good listening. So let's have prayer, and then I will get started by potting up the research staff here on The Bible on Trial. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, grant us peace today as we go through the things that we must do in order to learn the truth. There is lots of distraction now, especially with what's going on involving COVID-19, and not just the medicine, but the politics that are surrounding that. And I pray, Father, that you will, in your mercy, put a hedge about us, please, today, right now, to shield us from the distraction of these things and help us to learn the truth with the sense of surety that comes from knowing who Jesus Christ is and what his words say and what they mean. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
And good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And good morning, Don.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good. It's nice to see everybody. It's nice to hear you guys. I got to tell you, I really do miss having you in the kitchen studio over at my house, where we can spend an hour beforehand and talk about all sorts of things and catch up with each other's lives. I know Larry has discovered Facebook, and I'm finding it interesting reading his posts and being able to stay in touch that way. But I gotta tell you, I miss y'all.
Well, I miss that time also, Dennis. And also, wanted to let our listeners know that we are on Facebook. You can friend us on Facebook at Spirit of Truth Ministry.
It is Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. So if you go there and you want to be included, you just hit the button that requests membership, and I will I take a look at that every once in a while, and I would be happy to have you come on board with us.
What I thought we could talk about today is a very relevant subject for what is going on right now. Now, it's always been a relevant subject, but particularly right now. And the word I want to start out with is trust. What is trust? Trust is probably one of the key operatives in this process. Whom do you trust? In the garden, the man and the woman trusted God. Or did they? How can you tell? I'm hearing a lot of heavy breathing.
Yeah.
Are you there, Dennis?
Guys, just go ahead and mute your phones until you're ready to talk.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Trust goes along. There's a song that many of you probably know. And the title of it is Trust and Obey. And the first
trust
line of that.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Gosh.
To be happy.
Happy in Jesus.
But to trust and obey. And interestingly enough, those two qualities go together. Trust and obey. You obey because you trust, and when we consider what happened in the garden, what specifically, I'm hearing myself echoing now. What specifically did the serpent play into with the man and the woman in the interview that he had? What his purpose was is to try to plant the seed of trust, where in the conversation, it's the woman who is interacting with the serpent. We do know that her husband was with her when she picked the fruit and handed it to him. It says there in Genesis, and gave some to her husband who was with her. The serpent was implying that the creator, the God who had created the man and the woman, was not worthy of their trust because he knew something they didn't know. And that what he knew, they could know by disobeying, by showing they did not trust in the command that God had given them. Why was the serpent doing this? If we stop to consider, what was the purpose for the serpent? What did the serpent stand to benefit? And was this the initiation, the start of the war? The war that was the groundwork of the war that was being conducted. From what I understand, at the time, the other humans on Earth had no idea that there was another God. Now, it wouldn't have surprised them, but another God that had actually created them and had created the world, because the beings that were posing as gods told them they had created them and created the world, or the world had evolved and they came to tweak it and make it better. They had no idea that these spiritual beings were lying to them. So their trust was based on the information that they had been given, and they trusted these beings who said they were their spiritual benefactors. They were the ones who cared about them, who brought them into being, and who made sure that they could live and thrive and prosper. The man and the woman in the garden were the true God, the Elohim, who had created the universe and had created this solar system and created the earth and everything in it and everything on it and everything above it. And it was their intention that this couple would testify to the truth to the other humans on Earth, and then the other humans would have the opportunity to change their understanding of who their gods were. They trusted the gods, small g, because that is all they knew. The man and the woman in the garden had only interacted with the true God, their creator, and they trusted him. And what was different in this situation is that whereas the serpent was able to deceive the nations because they didn't have the knowledge of the true God, the man and the woman in the garden knew the true God. They talked to the true God face to face. They had learned from the true God. So what this serpent, Satan, needed to do was cleverly use words to plant the quote-unquote seed of doubt. And if he was successful, the man and the woman would question their trust in their creator and listen to the words of the serpent, which is what they did. The serpent cleverly spun the words so that it would make it the easiest path to follow would be the one of disobedience, not trusting. You can look back on it now and you can say, well, I can see it clearly. I wouldn't have done that. But hindsight is always better than foresight. But hindsight is what you would say, water under the bridge. Whom do you trust? You know, it's interesting, and I want to share this with you. The Pope tweeted yesterday or the day before something that is very strange, but yet very interesting and quite, I would say, appropriate for the time we're living in.
You know, this is one of the few times, Rick, when I actually agreed with the Pope.
So this is what the Pope said, tweeted. When we are in a state of sin, we are like, and then he puts this in quotes, human bats. Kind of weird, but anyway, human bats, end quote. Who can move about only at night. I just want to pause there for a moment. Have you ever stopped to think about a bat? How does a bat see? Do you know, Dennis?
Yeah, sonar.
How does a bat see?
By sonar. Basically, they send out a sound
it
bounces back to them.
They see with their ears, right?
Right, exactly.
They don't see with their eyes. In fact, they're blind. They have eyes, but They don't see with their eyes. They see with their ears. And they see quite well with their ears. So ears don't have an iris and a lens and so on, but what do ears, and when I say ears, I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about the whole ear that includes the tympanic membrane and the sensors and the nerves that are connected and so on. What about your eyes? Isn't that the same thing? Your eyes see the things in the world, but the image goes on to your retina, which has nerves connected to the back side of it, and it changes the picture becomes an electronic signal that goes to your brain, and your brain decodes it, and therefore your brain sees the picture. So the images that go into your eye, what you see is actually what your brain has translated from the information it has received from your eye. The same thing with your ears. So bats see with their ears because it is night. The whole thing becomes a spiritual expression of what we do in our spiritual I don't want to say our spiritual life, in our spiritual process. You remember John chapter 1, where John talks about the darkness, that the darkness covered the earth, and that the people were in the darkness, and that the light came into the darkness, and the darkness didn't recognize the light. The way that the Son of God was going to get the people out of darkness, tell them the truth. The truth would get them out of darkness. When we're talking about this darkness, that the world was in darkness, was it the physical world? No. So what was it? It was on the people in the world, those on the surface of the earth. They were the darkness. And why were they the darkness? Because they were operating on information from the serpent. They believed what they had been told, to sing what they had been told. They were the darkness. What the Son of God did when he came was to, in essence, flip on the light switch. How would he do that? He was going to tell the truth. Truth is light. Lies are darkness. There is no lie that is light, and there is no truth that is dark. Period. On with the Pope's tweet I'll start it again just so we can follow the flow. When we are in a state of sin, we are like human bats, and the Pope put that in quotes, who can move about only at night. Why does a bat move about only at night? Because it is in darkness. It's blind. We find it easier to live in darkness because the light reveals to us what we do not want to see. But then our eyes grow accustomed to the darkness. And I could say there, our eyes grow accustomed to blindness. So here is this is the Pope making the statement. So he concludes with this, but then our eyes grow accustomed to the darkness and we no longer recognize the light. What is the Pope doing? Why does he tweet this? I mean, think about it. Would your pastor tweet this? Would your pastor retweet this? Would your denominational leadership board tweet this or retweet this, or the president of your denomination, your church? This is a tweet by the Pope. Then our eyes grow accustomed to the darkness and we no longer recognize the light. Absolutely. I started with trust. What do you trust? Who do you trust? When the Son of God came here to this earth and he appeared in the darkness, whom did the people at that time trust? Well, I'm sure that if you asked any one of them, they would say they trust God. They trust God. The God who gave the law to Moses, to their forefathers. They trust God. If I was to ask that question today, if I was to go to any Christian church and ask the people, whom do they trust most? I'm sure that the majority of them, if not all of them, would say they trust God and His Son, the Son who died for their sins. I wouldn't think that they were lying to me. In fact, I would be sure they were not lying to me. I'm sure that they really trust. But what is trust? How does trust work? What I mean by that is, trust requires something very critical, or it just is a word. What it requires is information. So when you're trusting, you're actually trusting in information. You're trusting in words. So can you trust in a lie because you believe it is the truth? Absolutely. Like I said, when the Son of God came here to this earth, those people that he was teaching trusted God. At least that's what they said. But yet, the Son of God teaching them, and they didn't believe what he was saying. So, were they really trusting in God, or were they trusting in the devil? You would have to say they were trusting in the devil because they didn't know the truth. And you have to know the truth before you can trust in the truth. And if you believe with all your heart and soul and spirit and strength in a lie, and you trust that lie without question, then when the truth comes, you see it as a lie. You see it as a deception. How is it that a lie can have such a profound and rock-solid ability? How is it?
How can it be that a lie can be confirmed as the truth?
But can a lie be confirmed as the truth, ever? What do you need? What do you need to confirm the truth? We don't need to confirm a lie. I mean, because a lie is a lie. It's like, I believe it because that's what my pastor tells me. I believe it because that's what my mom and dad and my grandparents said. I believe it because it works for me.
Well, it's interesting because one of the things, Rick, that we have, you coined this terrific definition. Faith allows a person to believe a lie as if it is the truth without accountability. And what Jesus came to earth to do, at least according to what he told Pilate, was to testify to the truth, and that truth brings accountability. So if you believe a lie, just as you said, the antediluvian people of earth believed a lie up until the moment that Noah got into the ark. I mean, you know, until the flood came and took them all away. The idea is, I find it fascinating that people can be so assured that they believe the truth, because Jesus would never allow them to believe a lie. And they have faith that that's true. So my question has always been, and I have asked this with any number of people, when Jesus came to earth, did Jesus live by faith? Because if what Paul says is true, then Jesus had to live by faith, because Jesus really didn't know everything. What he knew was what he had been told to be true. And so, you see, Jesus is in the same boat that we are. We have to believe by faith, just as he did. And that is a lie.
I think that the Pope's statement in his tweet, his concluding statement, the concluding sentence, "But then our eyes grow accustomed to the darkness, and we no longer recognize the light." And I've underlined that part, "and we no longer recognize the light." Recognition is critical. You believe and follow who you trust. The words that you believe are the truth have a source. All words have a source. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is source. And the Word was source. What we believe and follow, we believe and follow because we heard it in the beginning of our life. Parents, our parents heard it in the beginning of their life. If you change your spiritual belief and you go from one denomination to another denomination, you go from a fundamentalist to an evangelical, or you go from a Catholic to a Protestant, or in any of those moves, or you go from Islam to Christianity, or Christianity to Islam, or to from Christianity to becoming an agnostic. All those moves are made because you are exchanging one set of words for another set of words that make you feel something. These words don't make sense to me. These words make sense to me. Why does one lie not make sense and another lie does? Because it feeds into your preference. It satisfies your question that you have in your mind about what you had believed, and now it satisfies your question, answered some of those questions so that you now accept this set. But unless your decision to change is based in words of truth, it's just exchanging one lie for another, exchanging darkness for darkness. And you know, you could say, well, there's maybe 120 shades of darkness from gray to whatever. The darkness that exists because of the lies that sustain it is a pitch black darkness. And even if the truth, there might be a couple of elements of truth in there, always overpowered by the darkness. So, what do we need to do before we put our trust in what we believe? The answer to that question is we have to know the source. We have to know the source. God, the true God, the creator God, the God who has been forever, and the God who in the beginning created. We have to know them. We have to know them. We don't have to know they exist, about them. We have to know them. We have to know them intimately as we knew our parents or know our parents. We have to know them that intimately. We have to know them as intimately as we know our family, our children, our grandchildren. We have to know God like family because God is family. When you pray, do you say, my Father or Father? Or do you say God? God is your Father, and you know him as well as you know or knew your earthly father. Then you know God. But if you don't, then who is your father when you say father? And if God is your father, then his son is your brother. And the Holy Spirit is your mother. Because the Holy Spirit gave birth to the Son of God. And she gives birth to the remnant, last of her offspring. Revelation 12, 17. There was a statement the Son of God made to the woman at the well, at Jacob's well at Sychar. When she said, our fathers worship God in the temple here, but you say it is Jerusalem. The Son of God said to her, You worship what you do not know. He did say that Jerusalem was the place, and in fact it was. But he said a time is coming and now is, when the true worshipers will neither worship God here or in Jerusalem. But he said to her, you worship what you do not know. In John chapter 8, I've read this before. I'll read it again because it goes along with this right here. When in the discussion about truth, by the way, this is John chapter 8. We're going to be reading from verse 42. 41, verse 41. He started this out with, I tell you solemnly, everyone, which is in 31 and 32, to the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, if you make my word your home, you will indeed be my disciples. You will learn the truth, and the truth will make you free. And they wanted to know we've never been slaves of anyone. He said, anyone who sins is a slave of sin. Anyone who sins is a slave of sin. He also said, and keep your finger there, in Matthew 6:24, no one can be the slave of two masters. He will either hate the first and love the second, or treat the first with respect and the second with scorn. You cannot be the slave both of God and of money. Now, John chapter 8, starting with verse 41. What you are doing is what your father does. We were not born of prostitution, they went on. We have one father, God, Jesus answered. If God were your father, you would love me. And just for a moment, think about that. If God were your father, you would love me. Who are these people that he's talking to? They're religious leaders. These are the ones who have memorized the law. They can quote from any part of the law at any place when asked. They are experts on the law. The Torah, the scrolls, they know them well. But what do they not know? They don't know that what they have done with the law is turned it into a lie. This is what the Son of God is pointing out to them plainly, clearly. So what can we take away from this? These religious leaders believed in God. the God who gave the law to Moses. But they didn't know the God who gave the law to Moses. Saying that you know God, saying that you worship God, saying that you believe God, saying that you trust God, saying that God is your God, is just words. If you don't have the truth, you don't have God. You don't know God. You don't worship God. You don't believe God. Truth is key. It is the only thing. It is the most important thing. And yet truth treated like, well, yeah, it'd be nice to know the truth, but heh, who knows what the truth is? Who knows where to go to find the truth? You know, your truth, that's fine. That's your truth. My truth is my truth. And well, when we all get to heaven, then we'll all know what the truth is. And I say, if that's the way it is intended to be, then why did God send his only begotten Son into this dark, forsaken world to testify to the truth if the truth doesn't matter? The only thing that mattered was that he be put to death so that he could save everybody who believed the lies that the devil was telling.
And you see, Rick, if that had been the case, then why didn't Jesus do that before the flood?
Why didn't he do it in the Garden of Eden? Why didn't he just say, okay, Lord, here, this is what we need to do now? If God were your father, you would love me. How many people go, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love him with all my heart. Do you trust him? Oh, absolutely. Do you trust what he said? Oh, absolutely. Well, then why don't you believe what he said? Well, what I do? I said, no, you believe what Paul said. Oh, but he's saying that's what he... No, that's not what he said. What Paul is teaching is not what the Son of God was teaching. Two different things completely. Oh, but everything changed. See, that's when the lies start coming in. It is a lie that God changed everything after the resurrection. It is a lie that the law no longer has any component in salvation. It is a lie that sin is in the flesh and there's nothing we can do to get rid of it. We have to actually, our spirit has to leave the flesh before we can be without sin. That's what Paul teaches. Paul teaches hideous lies, one after the other, lies and lies and lies. And people believe this because Paul makes it all feeling good with love and, you know, love for your brother and standing and acceptance and, you know, all those things, all the nice things. But it's still lies. You can't package lies up in a pretty wrapping paper and a pretty bow and a card that says unconditional love. It doesn't make it work. It's a lie. It's all lies. If God were
Rick,
your
you know,
father,
you mentioned the word unconditional love, and one of the things that I think about when people say that is, would you marry your wife or your husband using the technology of unconditional love? Doesn't matter what they do. They can go out with anybody they want. They can sleep with whoever they want. It doesn't matter. You will love them anyway, no matter what they do. And there's nothing that they can do that will dissuade you from loving them fully and wholeheartedly. Does that make any kind of sense?
No. And you see, the thing is that accepting and believing the truth shows, demonstrates that you love God. And that's why the Son of God said, when you keep my commandments, it shows that you love me. But Paul tells us we don't need to keep the commandments. And then other people will say, well, but those commandments were not kept because he commanded us to love one another. So I love one. That's the commandments. No. He's talking about the law, the commandments. If God were your father, you would love me, since I have come here from God. Yes, I have come from him. Not that I came because I chose. No, I was sent by him. Do you know why you cannot take in what I say? It is because you are unable to understand my language. In other words, you can't understand the truth because you believe lies. That's what he's talking about. You can't understand the truth because it's going in through your lies. The devil is your father, and you prefer to do your father wants. Anyone who believes a lie, anyone who practices a lie, anyone who worships a lie, does not have God as their father. Their father is the devil. And the only way to change that is to quit believing and trusting in lies. Believe and trust in the truth, because God is the truth and God is eternal life. Dennis.
Thank you, Rick. That was a fabulous study. I encourage our listeners to go to our Blog Talk Radio website a little bit later today, and you can go to our episode page and you can download this and any number of the other 1,140 programs that we have on our Blog Talk Radio website. We also encourage you to join us tomorrow for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We will be here. We encourage you and hope to see you here tomorrow. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you all a wonderful day, a beautiful day, and we will see you all tomorrow.